You're listening to Fritz and Friends on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back, everyone, to more of Fritz and Friends 536. Cheryl Fritz here, along with Mark Price, 1320 WILS, and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. During his campaign, Governor Snyder made it clear that state employee pay and benefits were a likely target of some budget cuts. That's why I made a call to my next guest, Ray Holman, who is legislative liaison with UAW 6000. Good evening, Ray.
Good evening.
How are you?
Doing excellent.
Very good. Your phone got charged up.
It did.
We had an issue earlier today. I'm thrilled that it's all charged up. So my question to you, given the statements made by Governor Rick Snyder, with kind of everything is on the table, and that includes employee compensation for state employees, what is your feeling going into the new administration in the beginning of the year, Ray, and how are your union members feeling?
Well, you know, right now we're scared and we're worried because we realize that we're facing a $1.8 billion budget in the general fund. And then, of course, if they do away with the Michigan business tax, that'll take that above $3 billion. We're worried about that. And I'm always happy to come on shows like yours to kind of explain to people that state employees have done their part already to step and help the state balance the budget.
Let's start there then, Ray. Let's take one step back further.
Sure.
and let's tell folks who you represent, who as the liaison, who makes up the UAW 6000.
We represent over 17,000 state employees in all the departments, and we are the largest state employee union, UAW Local 6000.
Now, is it largely social service and administrative employees?
Our two biggest departments are Department of Human Services and the Department of Corrections, but again, we have people in all the departments, and we have both categories, yes.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Now we'll get back to the previous question. You said that that state employees have already done their part. Why don't you share with us some of the things, sacrifices, I think that's a proper word, that you believe they've made to date?
Yes. You know, at the bargaining table, for example, last April, the state asked us to come back to the table, and for people who are hired now after April, after that last round of concessions, come in and they pay 20% for their health insurance. They pay much more. In 1997, for example, a state employee switched over to defined contributions, or a typical 401k, and I think most people have the impression that we all have pensions, which is not true. Most state employees have defined contributions. In previous years, just recently, for example, we would work 80 hours but only get paid for 78. We, a year or so ago, had 6 unpaid days off. We're paying more in health insurance deductibles and premiums for all our state employees are. Beyond all that, all the sacrifices we've made, if you look at our wages and benefits since 2003, you're talking about $750 million. And then the big one, though, is when you add in the 11,000 positions that we've lost since 2001, that actually takes it up to $3.3 billion. And right now we're doing the work literally of 3 and 4 people. And the demand for state services is at an all-time high. Our lobbies are packed, and and we understand that. And that's why at the bargaining table we have made concessions.
Well, and I guess a little bit of devil's advocate, sometimes when you hear that a group has been cut by 11,000 employees, to some they go, but it's still operating. Were those excess to begin with? What would be your response?
You know, right now, if you go to a Department of Human Services lobby around the state, I was at 2 today in the Detroit area, they're packed. Every month, the Department of Social Services is setting a new record. And unfortunately, 2.9 million citizens depend on the Department of Human Services. We are, at the same time, releasing record number of prisoners. We're going to need to have competent, trained parole agents available to service those people and to protect the community. And we're doing it right now with limited staff. And so, that you know, that's the problem. You know, we need more bodies. And, again, you know, in terms of helping the state balance the books, we've been doing that. And, here's the thing. If you cut our wages by 50% and do away with all our benefits, you still won't solve the budget crisis. It's a structural problem. And to pick on us or to pick on a public employee, it won't solve the problem. You're talking about billions of dollars that they're going to have to try to find. And to cut our pay drastically, you're only talking about millions.
Well, so basically it's kind of parallel because of the economy of the state. People are needing more services, and yet the state employees, you're saying, are kind of in the same boat.
That's right, exactly. And so as the economy has tanked here, especially since 2008, as everybody knows, the demand has gone up, and we're doing it when we've already cut our staff again, you know, 11,000 positions. So it's a really hard time. And I think the thing is, though, that there's a perception that state employees have these Cadillac benefits and have lavish pay. It's not true, and academic studies can prove that. When you factor in education, we make far less than the private sector does. And you often hear people say, well, state employees have these great pay and benefits. But again, when you factor in education, it's not true. And a lot of the state jobs are highly complicated. And you're talking about engineers, you're talking about attorneys, medical professionals, masters of social work. So there's a lot of our positions require advanced degrees. And you have to have competent people, you know, to do these vital services to keep people safe.
Would it be an accurate statement to say that if any changes are made in compensation and so forth, you would want that to happen at the bargaining table?
Yeah, absolutely. Concessions always need to be happening at the bargaining table because we have a contract with the state, and that's the place to do it. And we have negotiated in good faith and have helped the state in the past. But for the governor or the legislature to mandate changes and to violate the state constitution and our collective bargaining rights is not the way to do it.
Okay. And any other remarks before we head out, Ray?
Well, I would just say that, again, I think that there's you hear often, at least I do, that state employees have Cadillac benefits and we make far more than the private sector. You know, that's not true. And the other thing to remember is if you don't appropriately staff the departments, it's going to end up costing the taxpayer more money. And forget about the human suffering if we can't help, you know, children, if we can't help the seniors, forget about all that. If you don't appropriately administer these departments, the state's liable to get sued, which is exactly what happened with the Department of Human Services. They weren't providing enough Children's Protective Services workers, so now they're under the supervision of federal court, and it's cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars. So the cruel irony is, because you didn't staff the department appropriately to begin with, the taxpayer's on the hook. And if people coming in DHS, for example, Department of Human Services, don't get their Medicaid turned on and they don't get their medicine, they could end up in the emergency room. And guess what? That costs all of us a lot more. So, I mean, we have to be smart about this, but we do look forward to sitting down with the governor and working through this.
Well, clearly this issue isn't over. And, Ray, I appreciate your time this evening. We'll be checking back in with you as things progress.
Oh, thank you. Sounds good.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, been talking with Ray Holman, legislative liaison for UAW 6000. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends right after this.